Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There is a way to win. There's a way to overcome. If you don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. The scripture tells us that God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tested, tempted, tried above what we're able to deal with, but will always give us a way of escape. Always. So declare over every situation in your life, said out loud, there is a way.
There is a way.
There's a way out.
There's a way out.
There's a way through.
There's a way through.
There's a way over.
There's a way over.
To complete victory.
To complete victory.
Father, we ask you to show this to us. Show us the next steps and the next parts that you might be exalted and glorified in our lives. We ask for the utterance today, for the anointing, the grace, the strength, the eyes and ears and heart and mind that can hear and receive. We thank you for answers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And it is wonderful that you can get built up and have confidence that God's wants your bills paid. He wants your needs met. He wants you taken care of. Even wants you to enjoy some nice things. Many church-going people don't believe that for some reason, but if you get to know Him through His Word and by His Spirit, you'll find He invented rich. He created rich. Rich is His idea. We were looking recently at God telling them to bring the materials for His tabernacle. And He didn't want any cheap, basic, you know, drab stuff. He wanted gold, silver, precious stones, and the finest and best of everything. Well, who made gold? Who made silver? Who made precious metals and precious jewels and stones? He did. And it's His taste. And it's His preference. And so you'll hear people, you know, just say all kind of derogatory things. If somebody's got expensive clothes or some expensive jewelry or the nice house or a nice car. And I've heard people say that just makes me sick. You know, that could have been given to the poor. And it makes me cringe when I hear that phrase, because what do you mean it makes you sick? That's God's choice for His tabernacle, His temple, heaven. Is that right?
Yes.
If you don't like beautiful things and gold and silver and jewels, then how are you going to make it in heaven? I mean, you're going to make quite an adjustment. Is that right? And this thing about it could have been given to the poor is such hypocrisy. That's the thing that's so chafing about that. People who talk like that, I assure you, they don't do what they claim others should be doing.
Right.
Mm-mm. People say, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't claim. What's that got to do with you living what you claim is right? No, this ain't a preacher thing. It's an honest thing.
That's right.
Huh? And the thing is, when God said, I want all this gold in my tabernacle, is that taking food away from somebody? Or can God do both? Can He do both? Can He do it all? So this thing about this should have been given to the poor instead, like I said, that is a quote from the Bible, a quote from Judas Iscariot, who hours after saying that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Hours after saying that. You do not want to be saying this kind of thing and being such a hypocrite. It's great to help people in need. But you know what's got to happen before you can help people a lot? You got to get something. Is that right? You got to get some resources. You got to have some things if you're going to do anything on any level, on any substance. And so we've been going one after another through 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Go ahead, say it out loud. Abundant provision,
abundant provision is
always
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Say it again. Abundant provision,
is
always,
God's will.
Every day,
every night,
every week,
every month,
every year of my life,
abundant provision
is God's will
for me.
Don't accept anything else. And if you experience something other than that, don't start trying to, you know, hypothesize that it's God's mysterious will. Get busy seeking God. Find out what's wrong.
Right?
What adjustments do we need to make? Something is hindering God doing for us what He wants done. He doesn't force us to do things against His will. And so we got down to reason number 19 in our study, like we just mentioned, the tabernacle. And we saw that God wanted the best. And He wanted, by today's money, it would have been between $150, $200 million spent on a temporary, portable tent, sanctuary. But that was God's choice. Has He changed a lot from then till now? Is God really, He wasn't back then. He didn't care how many millions you spent on it. But now He's gotten really concerned about money. And He's really upset if you don't, you know, get the cheaper and save a bunch of money. Yeah. Like I've mentioned before, I don't know of any rewards past this life for who saved the most money. A minister friend of mine said one time, some people kept telling him that, you know, they saved God money on this. You know, they bought the cheaper piano. They bought the cheaper pew. They bought the cheaper carpet, and they saved God a bunch of money. And he said the Lord spoke to his heart and said, when am I going to get all this money that they're saving for me? Anybody know the answer?
Never.
The Lord's never seeing that money. And that's why He knew that. They're using His name. Well, you wouldn't like that either, right?
No.
They're using your name. Supposedly they're doing it for you, but they're not. It's just not true. And we're down to number 20 in our study today. And that is, we're sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the wealth of the sinner. The wealth of the sinner, number 20 in our study. And we ask the question, these people that are bringing all this gold and silver and for the tabernacle, where did they get it? Where did it come from? Because just not long ago, they were slaves. So where did they get all this gold and these diamonds and rubies, sapphires, finest linen and fabrics and leathers and acacia woods and all? Where'd they get all this? And we saw in Psalm 105:37, it said, He, God, brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed. Was glad when they left, for the fear of them fell upon them. And then we noticed in verse 42, He remembered His holy promise and Abraham His servant. And He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness, and He gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people. So when we say the wealth of the sinner, that's a reference to Proverbs, among other places, that says the wealth of the sinner is laid up or stored for or reserved for the just. And so here we see two major instances of it, that a lot of resources came into Israel's hands from Egypt. And then they left, they got silver and gold, and they're fully funded to build sanctuaries and everything else. And they're headed towards the Promised Land, where they are to get properties. Mm-hmm. that they didn't, you know, pay for, and houses they didn't build, filled with all good things they didn't fill, orchards and vineyards they didn't plant. And, you know, a lot of these, the best orchards and vineyards didn't start last year. I mean, they've been going for a long time, right? Many, many years. And here, these people, and if you look at the bigger picture, the Egyptians were not godly people. They worship false gods. And they tell us, those that have studied this thing, which I don't recommend that you do, that there are over 1,000 gods that they had in Egypt. They had like 10 plus main ones, but then every locality had its own individual gods and all that kind of stuff. But what God was doing through the signs and wonders, he was working what would deliver his people, but he was doing other things too. He was working judgment on their gods.
Oh, come on.
Are y'all with me? And this is a significant thing. This is going to come back to us later, but notice, I'll read this to you in Exodus, the 18th chapter. Exodus 18 and 11. Moses' father-in-law, when he came to meet him after they had been delivered out of Egypt, and he had observed this from afar. And what had happened in Egypt went all over the known world. I mean, everybody knew what it, because Egypt was a world power. And nobody raised their hand against them. And yet they were brought to their knees. And Exodus 18:11 says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said, I know the Lord is greater than all gods.
Yes.
Now I know. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Now he's referring to their gods. And just a few of their top gods. Well, one of them was a god with a crocodile head and was in control of the Nile and water. What's one of the first things God hit? He turned the Nile into blood. Nobody could drink for it. And I'm sure all of this other people that worship this other god, they're praying to their god. They're pleading with their god. They're making sacrifices and nothing's happening. God showed them up. Can you see that? One of their main gods was the sun god. That was like one of their, maybe the top, one of the top god. And you know, one of the signs and wonders is darkness. Darkness fell over the whole land of Egypt. And it was so dark that people couldn't see each other. Except in the land of Goshen. Now, how did God do that? I mean, that is quite the feat. How did he do that? And so the judgments on their cattle and on the flies and the lice. And one of their big gods that they worshiped was the god of the underworld and death. You know, they were big into embalming and all that. And so the last sign and wonder was the death of all the firstborn. And nobody could stop it. Nobody could change it. God showed himself totally in dominion over all their stupid little gods. God hates idolatry, and you should have nothing to do with it. Don't have any of these statues in your house or pictures in your house. Is everybody listening? Don't do it. And if you travel and go on vacation, don't go through somebody's false god ceremony of burning incense and sprinkling you and doing this with you. Don't you dare do that. Those are not gods. They are man-made gods, and there are evil spirits involved with them. There's only one God. I said, there's only one God, and there's only one way to God, And that's Jesus, the Christ. So their iniquity had come to a fullness. And they were, I guess, probably the wealthiest, richest nation and empire around at that time. And so for generations, they had accumulated this wealth. And the most powerful families had accumulated this wealth. And the most powerful families probably had the most slaves.
Right. Right.
Can you see this? And depending on what they were doing in their projects and what have you. But God made an overnight transfer. Are y'all with me? In Numbers 33 and 4, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. But in Numbers 33 and 4, it says it again, that last judgment said, the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them, upon their gods. Also, the Lord executed judgments. And so we saw back in yesterday's class that when in Psalm 105 it says he brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes, and that God remembered his promise that he spoke to Abraham, to his friend and covenant partner Abraham. And we looked back in Genesis and saw that he had told him during this so important cutting of the covenant, and God himself manifested his presence with Abraham. And during this sacred time of the covenant being joined between him and Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants, of which we are some, he told him, he said, your descendants are going to be strangers in another land. Well, that was Egypt. For 400 years. And they're going to be, you know, mistreated and abused. Well, they were enslaved. And after that, he said, I'm going to bring them out with great substance. Well, why 400 years? This is, to us, this is, you know, are we going to be on the earth another 400 years? To us, this is way too long. This is multiple generations. Why 400 years? Look, go turn with me to Deuteronomy 9, and you actually see an answer of this. And this is going to be relative to understanding how the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and how and when it's transferred and how it works. There's been some things said about, I don't know, to use somebody else's phrase, end time wealth transfer, that I don't completely agree with. And you got to watch about taking a phrase and then putting your thinking on it. If you want to understand something, how did it work previous times in the Scripture? Are y'all with me?
Yes,
instead of just coming up with your idea of your hopeful, wishful thinking.
Right.
And in Deuteronomy 9 and 4, the Lord said this through his servant Moses. He said, speak not in your heart after the Lord has cast them out before you. Now this is all the, what was it, seven nations in the land of Canaan that God, you know, the Amorites and all those guys that he drove out and gave their lands to his people Israel. Now right there, people who don't respect God, they'll go, well, that's not right. These people were there first. They have a right to it. Well, I think God knows what's right.
That's right.
Would be my analysis of it. Well, no, they were there first. How do you know they were there first?
Right.
We don't even have a record of history going back very far. When people talk about, well, so-and-so were the first ones here. How do you know? How do you know? You don't know that. And what you got to come back to is it's God's.
Yes.
He made it.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He made it. And he can give it to whoever he wants to. Whenever he wants to. And all of his judgments and doings are perfectly just and right and true. The reasons he has for the things that he does are perfect. Beyond question. Perfect. That's why Romans talks about, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. That you may be justified. You may overcome when you're judged. People judge God and accuse God of being unfair. And they will be shown to be liars. Because God will always be shown to be perfectly fair. You know, back when I was in Bible school decades ago, we had a teacher who was teaching us on Old Testament things. And a bunch of the things we were dealing with were judgments. And it sounded harsh. And he stopped early on in the course and he said, let me give you some advice. He said, some of these things may sound hard to you. He said, but always stay on God's side.
Yes.
Man, that resonated with me. Does it with you? I thought, yeah. Yep. I'm going to stay on God's side. Whether I understand it or whether I don't, I'm going to decide already God knows what he's doing. He's right about everything he does. If he did it, he had good reasons for it. If he didn't do it, he had good reasons for not doing it. I'm on God's side. But a lot of human beings have chosen sides against God, accusing him of being unfair and unjust. Keep reading this and you'll see what we're talking about. He said, he's talking about when the Israelites get to the promised land, the land of Canaan, and God said he was going to help them to overcome and drive out these seven nations. And he said, when that happens, don't say it was because of my righteousness that the Lord brought me in to possess this land. Yeah, he gave it to us because we're good. That doesn't even sound quite right, does it? He gave it to us because we're good. He said, don't you say that. For the wickedness of these nations, the Lord does drive them out before you. That's why. Not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart do you go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God does drive them out before you, that he may perform the word which the Lord sware to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in case you didn't get it the first two times, he said, understand, the Lord your God gives this good land not for your righteousness, because you are a stiff-necked bunch. What I wanted you to see is there's this other component working. Somebody say, well, the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. So if they're sinners and I'm just, I should get it. Well, that's a little bit too simple, too basic. God is a merciful God. He is a merciful God. And he talked about in the when he told Abraham in this cutting of the covenant that in 400 years he's going to bring them out. He went on to say, because the iniquity of those peoples is not yet full. Did you hear that? God's going to give them, get this, another 400 years to figure this out and repent and decide maybe they come back to God. Huh? Well, then it would have been a different situation. It could have been the scenario where they kept their land or got better, but was not destroyed. But even after another 400 years, the idolatry, the wickedness got worse and worse and worse. I mean, these people are burning babies in human sacrifice. the things they are doing and practicing and living, you shouldn't even know about, much less actually do. And this went on for generation after generation after generation after generation until finally God said, that's it. That's it. I'm not tolerating this anymore. And he moved all of them out. And he gave it to a people that would worship him, that he was calling on to worship him, right? And should have. But this is what I'm saying. There's more than one component on it. And it's not that the wealth of the sinner should come to us because we deserve it.
That's right.
Because we belong it. It should belong to us. No. God gives other people opportunities and lots of it. But if they don't, and he's the only one who knows when people get to a place where they're never going to change. We don't know that. And so we're not qualified to judge. But he knows that, for instance, those people, he gave them another 400 years. He knows it wouldn't matter how many centuries you gave them. They're not going to change. And so he goes, that's it. That's it. And he is going to be the one that judges all of humanity at the end of this whole thing. But that's when he already knew it and saw ahead and told Abraham, it's going to be 400 years. They're going to be mistreated. But I'm going to remember my word to you, and I'm going to bring them out. And when I do, they will not go out empty. When I do, they are going to come out with great substance and great wealth. And where did it come from? It came from the Egyptians. It came from the people who previously had power over them, who had been idol, false god worshipers for centuries, until God said, I'm done with this. I'm not tolerating this anymore. So, do you know that there's only one God?
Yes.
And only one Savior?
Yes.
And you should despise anything else that tries to compete with God. Say it out loud, Lord, you are my God.
Only God.
And I worship you. Well, our time's up again. There's so much more to see about this. Come back tomorrow. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390